So when we start talking to people about lead together teams, some people are very happy heading out on their own and trying things and making their own way based on just a glimmering of an idea from a book or pulling things for inspiration. And some people would prefer a little bit more structure, bringing in the to a new system, and that gives them some solace. So for those people, we talk a little bit about operating systems that are possible to bring into organizations. So Susan, what do we mean when we say operating systems, and how do they work?
I mean, at the risk of being very jargony here, the idea of an operating system in a computer program basically is like the base layer of principles and protocols that things get built upon. And so there's like a basic way of doing things. And then let's just think about the apps that are built on top of that to intermingle and play nicely with the operating systems is a neat way, I think, to think about lead together organizations. If I think about, you know, one of Aaron Dignan's gems that I love so much is, you know, if you look at just about anything from 100 years ago, it's unrecognizable except the org chart. So the pyramidal org chart hierarchy has been the operating system, quote unquote, of organizations for, you know, more than a century now. But when we think about, and as you so rightly said, Travis, one of the big scary things about thinking about leading together is, well, how do we put this all together? I'm not prepared to just throw all of the ways that I've learned how to do things over the last 20 years up in the air and see where they land. What are some elements that can help us understand and feel good about the aspects of governance and decision-making and where and how the work gets done and how we communicate with each other and all of the elements that we know we need in organizations and teams, but to be able to do it in a different way. And just coming back to the idea of the protocol and principles layer. And so, Brent, beyond this idea of the traditional hierarchy or pyramid, what are the additional types or some additional types of operating systems that you can kind of describe more in a more alive way?
Mm-hmm. So the three different ones I'll talk about. The first is parallel teams. So if you think about building a business and there's a, you know, the business grows and maybe it's about eight people and you realize, wow, this eight people works really well together. Why don't we just build another group that looks exactly like this one, but they're another group of eight and then another group of eight. And so, you know, if you have a system where you can have a reasonably small group of people, six, 12, something like that, people who can basically deliver on behalf of the company on their own, then that would be a parallel teams model. So a great example is a organization called Burtzorg, and there are, I think, Wellbeing Teams runs the same way. There are a couple of different nursing organizations that are neighborhood-based. So they know that within a neighborhood, they need a certain number of individuals with a certain number of skill sets. And then to serve the next neighborhood, they basically need the same thing again. So they take that model and they keep repeating it over and over again. And the team for the most part is self-contained. So it might have a little bit of support from maybe an IT group or a finance group, but for the most part, they're doing everything on their own. The second is kind of the opposite, if you think about it, which is webs of individual contracting. So where you have a whole bunch of people and you are making individual contracts as you need. And that sounds chaotic if you were to start from scratch, but the reality is that these webs, they get built over time. And so I need this. Can you provide that? You can. Okay, great. Let's create a little mini contract between us. And you just keep expanding that out as the organization grows. And then the third is nested teams. This one is the closest to hierarchy, if you think about it. But the difference here is it's hierarchy of purpose, not hierarchy of person or title. So you think about, if you think about having a great big circle that represents the organization, and that great big circle has a guiding purpose that's guiding the organization. And then there are other circles that fit within the larger circle. So those are nested circles, which have a purpose, which is a subset of the larger purpose. And so you can keep breaking that down as much as you need. And the difference then is, so I could maybe be in a couple of different circles, nested circles, and maybe, you know, Susan, you're leading one of those circles and I am supporting in that circle. And then there might be another one where I'm leading and you're supporting. So it breaks away from the fact or the, you know, in the traditional hierarchy, if I'm at this level with this title, then that's where I am. And it's very kind of static. The nested teams approach is much more dynamic based on purpose. So those are three, and there are different variations and different types of organizations where each of those fit and work well, which we talk about in the book. Now there are two very specific types of operating systems that get talked about sometimes. One is sociocracy and the other is holacracy. And those are really kind of operating a bunch of philosophies and principles and practices that have been brought together. So Travis, do you want to talk to us a little bit about those two and what's unique about them?
Yeah, and just building from what you were talking about, it's possible to use holacracy or sociocracy for any of the parallel teams, the web of individual contracting, but most often they get used for some sort of nested hierarchy of a purpose. Like you mentioned, it's tied in with something that might resemble an org chart, but actually share some of the other pieces here to kind of give you a visual on what was talking about, where you might have sales and marketing and procurement and customer service all linked in here. And one of the other key pieces on here is that there's a path to change if you want to raise an issue from one of these more contained circles to one of the larger ones. There's often double linking. So not just does information flow down, but there's a path forward for information to flow up, and there's some representation. Makes it more like the democratic process that we're used to in the rest of our lives outside of work also shows up in our working environments. And part of that that makes that work is actually a governance process as well, where there's a process where somebody can raise attention on something that needs to be changed. Like we've talked about in other videos, a lot of the things are documented and written down. And so if you want to change the way the organization works, you actually might make a suggestion and say, I'd love to change this rule or this metric or the purpose of this circle. I'm noticing attention that we could be doing something better here. And anybody can notice that. That's not just of the other person at the other top of the pyramid that's responsible for all of that. Everybody is responsible for it in a much more living system sort of way, which the other diagram that we were showing, like it looks more like cells interacting with each other than it does the other command and control piece, which leads to another piece that's kind of common across sociocracy, holacracy, and several of the operating systems is consent-based paradigm and transparency of operations. So people are, instead of having to be personally vested with, oh, you're allowed to do this or you're allowed to do that, there's an assumption that people can do anything that's not expressly forbidden or taken within a certain group. So maybe a certain group controls the newsletter or the other webpage within the marketing circle. But if you want to do some other stuff and create a community group, that's not on the webpage, that's fine. Go ahead. And if you're sensing a need, go ahead and do that. In order for that to be effective, you need to have some transparency on what everybody is working on. So that's a common tenet of the operating systems. Sociocracy, holacracy certainly have that. And then last but certainly not least is a piece that you both have talked to about purpose being much more important than title or person. Like what we're trying to do is a collective, and there's a way for ingraining the organizational purpose, but also each level in, if there is a hierarchy, each level in that hierarchy, each will have a nested purpose, and it is almost always written down. And that is used to make the guiding decisions for what should be done and what to do when there's trade-offs between different competing priorities.
Sounds complicated. So I think that, you know, the big thing is around sociocracy and holacracy is that those two concepts really aim to, they're based on these philosophies, and then they attempt to, you know, document them in a way that everybody can understand. Is that fair to say?
And there's a lot of good written material that's out there, as well as coaches and consultants and people that have done it. So if you're going to take on one of these operating systems wholesale, know that there's a couple that are out there. Know that there's a lot of good written and public resources. And also consider talking to people that have been there and in the other trenches. That's the reason that you're going to take this in more wholesale fashion, is to get that rapid acceleration. So you might as well learn from people that have been there as much as possible.